for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or the Camelton Bible Campgrounds publication, Voices from His Exit Glory Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is Saturday afternoon, September the 3rd, 2005. This is the 115 Ladies Meeting. Nancy Rosario is speaking.
I thank God, first of all, you know, God, all the people that you meet in your lifetime are all part of your life.
Amen.
In one way or another. I was blessed to be here only because I have a girlfriend whose name is Millie. Millie knows Dave Miller. Dave Miller knows Jim Landry and Alberta Landry. We invited Jim and Alberta to a three-day spiritual warfare service in our church in the Bronx. They came, had a wonderful time with them, deliverance service, teaching service. And then they invited us last year to Beaumont, where I met quite a few of you wonderful people here. We met Glenn Miller, we met Dr. Noel, and I attended your conference over there, your workshop over there. I gave a workshop over there in the beauty of a pastor's wife. My husband also preached. And then in turn, meeting Glenn Miller and Dr. Noel, we got invited here. And it all started by my girlfriend, Millie. Okay? So you never know who you meet. I laugh when I look up and things happen. I say, okay, Lord, you're playing chess with my life. Where am I now on this board? I said, where am I now on this board? What are you doing? Who am I meeting? Why am I meeting them? And I kind of stopped asking. I said, every one of you that I meet, I'm eventually, hopefully, God willing, going to see again, or we're going to be involved in some way. If not here, I'm definitely going to see this.
Yeah.
So either way, we're going to meet again.
Yeah.
So if I say I won't be in Dallas or in Texas or in Arkansas or anywhere, we're going to meet again in the heavenly place.
Amen.
Somewhere up in that third heaven, we're all going to meet again. And we're going to remember each other. Because God doesn't take away our mind when we die. We keep it intact. Some of us, you know, we'll come back to Austin down here. Thank God for that. As we go into those frenzies, you know. But today, we attended this, by the way, Lake Hamilton is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy it. I'm having a good time with all of the ladies, all of the men. And I don't know about you, but after Dr. Noel's teaching, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go and eat. I'm looking at my tray and all of a sudden I'm aware of chicken, sweets, sugar, carbohydrates, meat, this, mushrooms. Like, oh goodness. So I hope you all enjoy it.
Oh.
And when you go back to dinner, measure everything out. But I want to start off with a question. Why are you here? Why are you here?
I want to be delivered.
You want to be delivered? Sweetheart, you already are. What is it you want to be delivered from?
All the bondage that's keeping me from walking the life that Jesus came here to die for me.
Okay. Do you think you need deliverance for that? Or you need faith for that?
Both.
Both? So I deliver you from that spirit of unbelief.
Amen.
And I grant you, and I loosen faith in you. So you don't need deliverance, but just walk in that spirit.
Amen.
And know that you know that you know that you know that you're already walking in His will. That you're walking in everything that God wants you to walk in. Because if not, you won't even be here.
Amen. Okay.
You're here, daughter. You're here, sister. You are there, you are here, and you know that you know. Anybody else? But there's always deliverance available for everyone. Because you cannot obtain deliverance unless you know that you're in some kind of bondage. Okay? You can come in here and assume that you're going to be delivered. But there's no sense in all of a sudden all these demons coming out of you if you don't know what demons are coming out.
Amen.
And you need to know where they came from.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Demons don't just, you know, go around. They do go around looking for places to hide and to seek and to possess and obsess and oppress.
Yeah.
But the demons that you have and the demonic activity that surrounds us are mostly familiar spirits. So they come from somewhere in your family line.
Yeah.
Okay? They come from, in your family line. Because the demons know your weaknesses. Now, I want to speak about them because they don't like being talked about. So if they don't like being talked about, talk. They're going to be talked about. Come on. They don't like being talked about. They'd rather say, well, let her think that she's crazy. Let her think that it's her husband's fault. Let her think that it's her children's fault. Let her think that her children not obeying is not her fault. It's just that I'd rather that it's her fault, that she doesn't know how to bring them up. She doesn't know how to deal with them. She doesn't know how to discipline them. They'd rather make you feel that weakness and want to make you feel limp and totally worthless. That's their job. Because the more worthless you feel, the more depressed you get.
Yes.
The more depressed you get, the further away from God you get.
Amen.
The further away from God you get, the more in bondage you become.
Amen.
And the more in bondage you become, the closer to death you are.
Amen.
And that's what he wants, to bring
Amen.
You so close to that death,
right,
that now your life is in his hands.
All right.
So yes, I want to talk about him. We want to talk about them.
Okay.
With no fear.
Right.
We want to tell them, demon, I know you're there.
Amen.
And I find you. And I cast you out. And you have no legal rights. And if I gave it to you, I need to repent and get it back.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Demons come, a lot of it is generational curses that are in our life.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to hear a lot of teaching, and I'm sure you've heard about demonology and demonic activity this week. You can accept all of them, or you can prayerfully say what Paul said. I take what is worth taking and take it onto my life, and what is not worth, I bind it and I cast it out.
Amen.
Because not every speaker that is up here knows everything.
Amen.
Many times we speak because of our own experiences.
Yes.
There's too many people in the world for one person to know everything and know about everybody's experience.
Yes.
When our sister Patty King spoke yesterday, she spoke about experiences in her life, about the spirit of gluttony, of smoking. When she said gluttony, I went, she spoke about smoking. She spoke about certain weaknesses that she has that maybe 3-4 of us here, or maybe none of us here, were able to relate to. But that's okay, because there's too many people in the world, too much demonic activity out there, legions of demons, because Satan himself was so astute that when and he's such a good deceiver that when he dropped out of heaven and they threw him out, a third of the angels came with him.
That's right.
So he was able to do that in the heavenly places. What more can he do here? A lot more. Because the Lord gave him the right. He says, fine, the earth is yours. But he knows it's for a limited time. That's why you need to know the Word. Because if you don't know the Word, and you're not rooted in the Word, you're going to spend all your life as a servant of God, as a wimpy Christian. Oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, why? You don't need to do that. That's the way Satan wants to see the children of God. If you remember in the book of Luke, in the synagogue, when Jesus walked into the synagogue, they had been there. This is a church, a synagogue full of the rabbis and the priests that know the Word. And when Jesus walked in there, there was one man sitting in the synagogue who came out and said, why hast thou come here before our time? What did you do? And he knew Jesus.
All right.
Nobody knew the Son of God, but that demon inside that man knew the Son of God. And he was sitting in the synagogue. And he said, what have you to do with us before our time?
Yes.
They know they have a time.
Yes, they do. Yes.
So they have no business here. And if they are, we have all the right to tell them, get out in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And then he walked in, Jesus walked in. They knew Jesus. They knew Jesus said, why are you here to torment us before our time? Because they know that they're going into a place of torment. And if they know that they're going into a place of torment, they need to keep you in that bondage and in that torment because they want you to be just as they are.
Okay.
You don't need to imitate a demon.
Hello.
We need to imitate Christ.
Right.
We need to imitate the man and woman of faith.
Right.
I don't want to imitate those demonic activities that are going on.
No.
But they come to us through our family. They come to us with generational curses. Our family, and I'm talking about our forefathers, began, and a lot of demonic activity began way back when. Okay? He was in the Garden of Eden. A place made and created by God Himself. And He was there. And many people say, well, why does God allow it? Because God gave us a free will.
Amen.
You and I have a free will. I can choose to serve the enemy. I can choose to serve the world. I can choose to serve my flesh and all its desires. Or I can choose to serve God.
Yes, yes.
Choosing to serve God brings you into what this entire weekend is about. Spiritual warfare.
Yes.
You won't be engaged in spiritual warfare until you make a decision.
Yeah.
If you are out in the world and you have not made a decision for Christ, for God, you are not engaged in spiritual warfare. You are in the enemy's territory. There's nothing more he can do to you because he already knows he has you.
Yeah.
It's so much easier. Some people say, oh, you know, being a Christian, oh, that's boring, that's for old people, this and this and that. It's so much easier to follow the bad than to choose to do good.
Amen.
Paul said, I have two laws that are warring inside of me.
Amen.
Now Paul said, he knows that there are two wars. You are now fighting a war. You and I are engaged in warfare.
Yes.
We are engaged in spiritual warfare.
Yes.
We are fighting against the spirits of darkness.
Yes.
Against principalities.
Yes.
And you see in Ephesians it says, we can cast out demons in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Fine. The demons are to be cast out. The demons are being cast out the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
All right.
Some demon out there receives an assignment from Satan. What, Vanessa? Some demon out there receives an assignment from Satan. Say this. Vanessa just went into that lousy church, that lousy little church that preaches that man Jesus, and she accepted the Lord. Boom! Where were you? He's gonna smack that. Where were you? And I'm speaking about demons, and you're gonna say, she's speaking about them like they're real.
Excuse me.
Satan is real. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He's real. He resurrected. He's alive. Satan is alive. Satan is a spirit, and he knows it. And he has an army. And he hates it when one of his demons, one of his soldiers that he gives an assignment to, comes back and fails. And he himself, who has no mercy, and no love, and no pity, that demon that he assigned to Vanessa, God bless her, came back, and he did not complete his mission. He failed his mission, because somewhere along the line, the demon figured, you know, I've got Vanessa, she's fine. But one day, Vanessa chose to say, wow, I like Jesus. I love him. Or maybe she was born into this. But there was a time when all of you grew to that age where you had to make your own decision.
Right.
So that demon failed his assignment. And now Satan is mad. Now the demon, who knows? They said, take that demon and now threw him right back into the pit of hell wherever he sends him because he failed. But now, you entered into spiritual war. Because prior to that, you were under his domain. Now, you're in a spiritual battle. Now what you thought wasn't there is there.
Hello.
Now you begin to see.
Hello.
the things in your family.
All right.
What your spiritual eyes are open and you begin to see bondages.
Mm.
You begin to see chains in your life.
Mm.
You begin to see in your heart the ugly things that are there. You begin to read and learn the Word of God. You begin to see in the book of Galatians and you see all the desires of the flesh and idolatry and witchcraft and envy and jealousy and drunkenness. Now your eyes, your spiritual eyes are open. Oh my God, is this who I was?
Mm.
And now there's demonic activity. There's spiritual warfare. My sister, we are in the spiritual warfare. And I'd rather be in the spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back, it says to cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. But read the next part. And it says, we wrestle against principalities, against spirits of darkness. You can't wrestle unless you're physically sick.
All right. Come on now.
If I come, you ever seen wrestling? I like wrestling. You ever seen wrestling? You see how the guy grabs him by the neck?
Yeah.
And he's got him. So imagine yourself in some demonic stronghold. You're not possessed. You're in warfare.
Uh-huh.
You're not possessed. You are not possessed. You are not possessed. The moment you say, Jesus Christ, I am your daughter, the blood has cleansed you, and all demonic activity, all demonic possession has ceased in your life. But you will be oppressed, upset. The demons will be around trying to get you to fall. Demons that were dead from generations back will try to come back into your life. So you see wrestling. One guy has him in a hole, one girl, whatever, has her in a hole, and the other one has to try and get out. So what does he go? Punches him here, gets the leg out, and all that. We are wrestling. Paul compares the Word of God. He who finishes last to an athlete who runs slow. So we are in a wrestling match. We are in a boxing fight. We are in a sportsmanship here. And as you know, no one, if you see a child who has some athletic ability, what do you do? He goes to junior high, elementary school, gets involved in, let's say, the track team. Goes to junior high school, you realize, oh, he's a good runner. Goes to junior high school, he gets involved, goes to high school, might get a scholarship for baseball, basketball, whatever, but there has been a process. That child, that girl, that young boy has been learning, has been preparing to make it to that gold medal championship, to make it to that first place. And even those that don't make it to first place are still athletically fit to be involved in that sport. Whether it's basketball, baseball, football, wrestling, boxing. So I'm here to tell you, ladies, if you want to be, not if you want to be, you are. You got no choice. You're in spiritual warfare. You got no choice. There's not one of you here who is not involved in spiritual warfare. Take that as a way of life for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Take that as a way of life for the rest of your Christian life, of your God-serving life, of your title as a woman of God, as a child of God. You are involved in spiritual warfare until the day that Jesus Christ comes to take you home.
Yes, it is.
Because that the enemy has no choice. He has been given an assignment to stay on top of you and stay with you until he makes you fall.
Right.
And you need not all the hoopla of always demonic activity, but you need to walk daily. My sister Carla spoke yesterday on practicing daily faith. Very practical. But those are the small practical tips that keep you sane, that keep you focused, that keep you in that 24-hour daily communion with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That in everything he says to give thanks, in all things make God a part of your life. Because it says that we are to be occupied with the mind of Christ.
Yes.
If you are occupied with the mind of Christ,
yes,
you cannot be occupied with self and with the desires of the flesh. Will they come? Of course.
Yes.
If they don't come, you, then you must be some robot. And I know you're not, because we're flesh. I know some people, I know, you know, I've heard preachers say, you know, you gotta be that this fiery Christian that's always on fire for God, and if you fall, there's something wrong. Oh my goodness. If I fall, I think the word somewhere tells me that if a righteous man falls,
seven times
the Lord will pick him up.
Right.
So that means he's gonna fall more than once.
Uh-huh.
God knew I was going to fall more than once. Thank God he knew I was going to fall more than once.
Because he knew that we were involved in spiritual warfare. We're involved in a wrestling match. And a lot of these afflictions that come upon us actually are generational afflictions. They are generational curses. They are generational demons. Give you an example so you can start getting the gist of it. Look in your family tree. All of you here, just think back in your family tree and see what particular area is dominant. Divorce, widowhood, homosexuality, rape, incest, gluttony. See what prevails in your family life. With the woman. Begin with the woman in your family life. Then go on to the man. And then when you do that in your family tree, forget about, you know, who, if you were Schwartz or Smith or whatever. Think about the demonic parts, the human parts. What's prevailing there? Then start looking at the ages when it happened. When did Aunt Martha become a widow? When did my sister get raped? When did this particular thing happen in my family? And start pulling them out. Pulling them out. And if you start seeing a pattern, then you need to start binding and casting out that curse from your family tree. You are the link. The Lord today is allowing you, if you heard this for the first time, great. Learn it. If you've heard it for the second, third, fourth time, and you haven't applied it, apply it. If you have been applying it, don't forget to continue to apply it. Because sometimes, I like what Brother Clement said last night, revival means going back and remembering what we did that we forget to do. Because we forget. We get so involved in activities and ministries and doing so many things, we kind of forget this fight and this wrestling. I like these meetings because they bring you back to remembering,
yes,
that we have a battle.
Yes.
We get involved. I get involved in teaching with the youth and the ladies, and we get involved in all kinds of subjects and different things, but we need to get back to the real meat of our life as children of God, as daughters of God, is that we're involved in spiritual warfare. And we need to pass this on and teach it generation to generation. So when you begin to find that pattern, you begin to find them. Cast it out. You got to ask, begin by saying, Lord, forgive my parent, the person who did it. You got to ask forgiveness for your forefathers. When you begin to ask forgiveness for them, then you begin to bind. And that spirit begins to loosen. That spirit begins to lose some of its strength.
Yeah.
It weakens.
Yeah.
Some demons, you can cast them out in one shot. Some of them, you got to weaken them. Weaken them because they have such a stronghold.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They have such a stronghold, such a grip on you, that simply just, you know, casting them out, you can't do. Because you need to know what's there.
Yeah.
God is doing it to allow you to know what's there so you have knowledge of what you're doing. And the knowledge isn't just for your freedom. It isn't just for your deliverance.
Right.
You know what's more important as women of God, and I speak to you as women of God, it's for the deliverance of your children,
yeah,
of your grandchildren,
yeah,
of your family life,
yeah,
of your future to come.
Yeah.
Because we need to make a new future,
yeah,
in the name of Jesus that is strong.
Yeah.
If I'm a wimpy Christian, my children are going to
be wimpy Christians. My grandchildren are going to be wimpy Christians. If I have a demon in my family, if my generational curses in my family tree that I have not cast out while I'm still alive, that demon is going to remain in my family. I don't want those demons to attack my daughter, my sons, or my grandchildren. No! They got to stop here.
Right.
You got to stop them now.
Amen.
You got to stop them now.
Amen.
That's why God gives us the knowledge. And that's why in the Old Testament it says to teach this from generation to generation, for more to come to your children, to your children's children. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Pray for your children at night. When they're in that room, alone, quiet, go in there and pray for them. Lay your hands on them. Say, Lord, whatever demonic activity, whatever demons have come, or in my family line, in my family, I find that I rebuke it. They have no control. They have no hold over my daughter, over my son, or whatever person is in your house, even of your husband. And if we're married, we can look at a husband's family too. Because now the two of you have become one. His semen has entered your womb.
That's right.
And if there has been rape in your family, that means that that demon has transferred himself through that rape.
Right.
Sometimes you have to go back. I remember I had to go back. I had to go back. The Spirit of the Lord led me back into my mother's womb. And I had to pray, Lord, as I was coming out through that birth canal, Lord Jesus, whatever was there that attached itself to me as a newborn babe, I bind it, I cast it out in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Why? I think it was Patty who, about your father, was born, no father. That happened in my family too. My father and my mother got divorced when I was 5. My mother shipped me off to my grandmother's house for like 3 or 4 years. Then she went back and just picked me up and brought me, my brother. She shipped off my brother. She had my brother at the age of 18, unmarried, had him over there in Puerto Rico, my grandmother's house, went to take him after he was loved well in my grandmother, went and said, okay, I'm coming back to take my son, brought him to New York, married my father. My grandmother did not want my father, who was her last son, her youngest baby, to marry my mother because she was a woman that had a child, an unmarried woman who had a child out of wedlock. And she told my mother, oh, well, if you marry him, I'm going to throw myself off the roof. And my mother, cold-hearted as she is, said, go ahead, throw yourself off the roof. My mother and father got divorced when I was 5. And life just took it. And I was brought up, my father, after they got divorced, never saw him again. Twice that I saw him, just looked at me and turned his head away. So yes, I grew up not knowing a father, not having the love of a father, not having respect for men. All these things were just part of, I think it was Sister Collier, so you have, when she makes the scenario of the wheel, you have all these spokes that are coming out, and those are a lot of demonology and generational curses that follow you. And when you come to Christ, all this baggage slowly comes off, but it cannot come off unless you have knowledge that it's there. You need to know that it's there. And the way to know it is you have to go back. And when I say go back to your family tree, it's not to do it in a negative way. We're like, oh, my mother didn't love me, my mother didn't love me. I'm sure you probably already went through that. I'm sure you already probably went, my mother didn't love me, I was ready. Now it's time to get out of that pity and start getting into warfare.
Yeah.
Okay, it happened. It's over. It's done with. I've been there, done that already. I've been a whiny Christian. I cried and I was 7. If you weren't in the Lord, I probably saw a psychologist, a psychiatrist, been on Prozac, and who knows what else. It's over. We got to go off that now. And realize that we have deliverance from freedom in Christ. Christ came to undo the works of the enemy. He came to undo the works of the devil. You have no time anymore to pity yourself. You have no time anymore to take this self-gratification of, I'm not loved. My God, you are loved. You're loved by God. And when God loves you, doesn't mean that the whole world's going to love you.
I repeat that out there for some reason, right? No, when God loves you, it doesn't mean that the whole world is in love with him. Because many did not love Jesus. Many used him. Many followed him for the wrong reasons. Many followed him to be delivered. Take the woman that touched the veil of his robe. Doesn't say, I don't know if it says anything, I think it says anything about her being saved or not. She was bleeding for 12 years. If I just touch this man, I'm going to be healed and stop this bleeding.
Okay.
Now, we don't know what else happened. She could have been saved, she could have been not. But she was healed.
Right.
She was healed.
All right.
We came to the Lord, many of us were healed. But all of us came to the Lord, Jesus Christ. We found him. We sought him out. We found him. We knocked on the door. He opened it. We prayed unto God. He answered our prayers. And when we first came to the Lord, it was great. We felt good. We sang and we praised the Lord and we had joy and it was great.
Amen.
Then one day, boom.
Hello.
All hell broke loose around you, so you saw. And all of a sudden, what happened?
Yeah.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
And then, because you were in sin. How could I be in sin? I accepted the Lord. They told me all my sins were forgiven. They told me it was going to be a walk of roses. So you got to decide. Do you want to figure, do you want to sit there and count the beauty of the roses? Or do you want to sit there and count how many thorns you sent?
Yes.
You want to see a half a glass of milk, half full or half empty?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see it half full. I'd rather look at the roses. But there's thorns. But then that day came, and all of a sudden, demonic activity began. But we didn't know. Because many come to the Lord, we come to a church, they pray for us, we accept the Lord. Oh, they tell me that. Whole lot of you accept the Lord, sister, you are going to be blessed. And I said, yes! And I was so happy. I have been out there involved in a lot of things. I left my house at 19. Like I said, my mother, 2.5 years, she hasn't spoken to me. Don't ask me why. Just took a little thing. I got to leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know why? She's in bondage.
Yeah.
She's in such deep bondage. 75 years old. All I can do is sit and pray. I used to whine, oh, my mother, why doesn't she love me? Lord, why don't you save her? You are God. You can do everything you want. She's got a free will.
Yeah.
She's got a free will.
Yeah.
I cannot interfere with her will, but I will not cease to stop praying.
Yeah.
Not because she's my mother, but because she's a soul that needs salvation.
Yeah.
She's a soul that I realize that if she doesn't have salvation, she's going to be in hell forever. Right? Can't hide the truth. Can't hide the truth. And the hell of it is, that when you're in hell, you retain all your memory. You're going to forever remember everything that you did. And I say, Lord, don't let this woman go to hell, please. Because for her to remember everything that she has done for all these years, how she's treated her children and all that, I said, that's going to be hell for her. She's going to sit there and remember. It's going to be so bad, she's going to get Satan a hard time. But I pray for
him. Yeah.
So they told me, oh, this is going to be great. And I said, fine. And then when things started happening, I started to doubt. God, real? God, they told me you were real. They told me you were to this. They told me you were to that and this and that. And then I was with my husband, with my son's father. My first husband, who passed away. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he got involved in drugs. Heroin. And I was in the church, and I would tell the pastor, he's in drugs. Pray, sister. Remember my husband yesterday said his altar was the commode? The commode was mine.
Yeah.
And I'm praying, Lord, say, my husband, say, get away from the drugs and all that. You're a new Christian, you're bathing, you're praying. And I go back to the pastor, it's not happening. You got to fast too. Okay, I'm going to fast. And I fasted till I weighed 110 pounds. My cheeks were like this. And I was a newborn in the Lord.
my friends who hung out with me in the block in the neighborhood, they looked at me and said, wow, is that what going to church does to you?
No.
I was not given a good testimony. I was doing all the hoops. Oh, yeah, I got faith, I got faith, I got faith. But it was an emotional faith.
Yes.
There was no foundation.
Yes.
There was no knowledge.
Yes.
There was no teaching. I have, it's like getting what they do now. You go online and you buy a master's degree.
Yeah.
And you got it hanging on the wall, but when they start asking you about it, like, it's on the wall. I bought it. $2,000. It wasn't a frame.
Very good.
People are buying degrees now. Yeah. They're not earning them.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt. And I fasted and I prayed. And one day I got so angry at God. I said, you don't exist. You're not real. You cannot be, because if you were, you would have answered my prayers the way they told me that you would. And then, of course, idiotic of me. And if you don't exist, why am I talking to you? And of course, I ended up going back to the pastor again. That's what's so good, to have pastors that are so rooted in the Word that can teach you, not just emotionalism, but teach you how to wrestle, teach you how to equip yourself with the Word of God, teach you how to sit there and research and learn and apply the Word, not just go to church and sing joy for the Lord, I got a joy like a river, and then when you go out, the river takes you and drowns you and takes you out into the ocean. You got to be rooted in the Word. It's so good. You can't all the time say, I bind you, I cast you out, I bind you, I cast you out. The knowledge gives you, that practicing of daily faith is what gets you going every day. The little thing, if you get a speck in your eye, when you go in the name of Jesus, I cast it out. Daily faith that keeps you close to God and that keeps you involved in that positive spiritual warfare. So you don't find yourself in that bondage. And I went back to the pastor and I said, it's not working. And he said, sister, keep praying. And I looked at him and said, you know what, pastor, with all the respect, you keep praying. I'm walking. I had to leave. Because now my salvation was at stake. And I got angry. And as angry as I got, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart,
yes.
Oh my God, you know that He's real. You just know that He is so real. And when He cleanses you, that's why they say the woman that had all the 7 husbands and the worst woman in the Bible, that when God cleansed her, she said, I found him, because she was so grateful for what God had done that she knew He was real.
Yes,
and the more God cleanses you, and the more horrible things you've done, that's what I love. When I see women coming out of jail, or men, they are so grateful, because they've done all these ugly, horrible things, and there is this one person who died on the cross and told them, it's okay, it's for God, I forgive you and I love you. And I knew that that love had been so real because my change came overnight. The change of the things of the world. I had no desire at that moment. No desire for anything of the world. I stopped drinking, smoking, everything just left me. I was happy because I knew only God could do that. All those things in one shot. I didn't need patches. I didn't need Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't need... It happened like that.
Right.
So I knew it was real. So when I walked out, 9 months later, for 9 months, I was out there, you know, angry, bothered. I wanted to go back to drinking and doing this, and I was so upset. But somewhere, you know, when the Spirit of God just touches your heart for real, and I kept saying, God, I know you're real. Help me. And 9 months later, it's like He rebirthed me again. 9 months. In my own home, I didn't have to go to church. Because you don't just find Jesus in the church. You find Him anywhere you stand.
Amen.
And I found Him again. He wasn't lost. I was. I didn't find Him. I sought Him out. And He was right there in my home, near my bedroom. And I knelt down. And I cried. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I know You're real. And I need You to forgive me again. And I was a baby Christian. I opened the Word of God. And I said, Lord, give me something. Give me something in Your Word that I can read, that can help me. Later on years, I make a joke about it. I said, I'm glad I didn't open it to when Judas hung himself. Wow. But God knew my heart, and when I opened it, it stopped. Thank you, my heart. That's how awesome God is. And when I read that, I couldn't even, I got to the end, but my eyes were so teary-eyed. I was like, just,
Take in the theater. Look, the sounds that fit me like a girl. And for the very first time, never had this experience ever again in all the 25 years or so, my son's 28, 30 years or so that I've been serving the Lord. I got up from kneeling down from in front of the bed, and when I walked, I looked down, literally, I mean, I don't say literally, spiritually, I think. Not I think, I know it spiritually. I was like 12 inches off the floor. And I say spiritually because I kept looking and I was literally floating. But when I would put my foot, I touched the floor. But I would look down and I'd say, my God, the weight has been lifted.
Amen. Amen.
That weight has been lifted. Mm. Never experience it again. But God knows what to give you at the right time. I don't go out seeking to be lifted again. Because God did it and it felt good. And 30 years later, I can still testify about it, so that's how I know it's good. When you can testify about something for 20, 30 years, you know that what you had was good and it was real.
Yeah.
You don't need new experiences every day.
No.
I can relate this experience for the next 50 or 60 years of my life. For the next 40 years of my life, and I'll still feel good about it.
Yeah.
And even though it just happened once, don't go seeking for all those things. What God has given you up to now, was good enough to keep you firmly founded on that faith. For getting back to a generational person. Find them in your family. Root them out. Ask the Lord to forgive your forefathers. Anything they have done to you. Look in that family, search spiritually in that family tree. And start finding out and casting those things. All the way until you get to the now. And when you get to the now, you have children, grandchildren, start praying it over them. The reason I'm saying this for the children is because I've heard of a testimony of a mother who came crying to our church. And she said, you know, my daughter was standing in church. I don't know. She said, all of a sudden she was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And she just went out there. I don't know, just take a night. And as we started counseling back and forth and going through her family tree, spiritually and seeing, you know, she started seeing, and then she found out herself what happened to her at that age, 15, 16, that how she kind of, you know, went out there practically out into the world, but she had a little more fear of the Lord, whatever, she didn't go fully, but the temptations came at that age. So that's why we got to start praying. Whatever weaknesses you have at a certain age, those demons come out of you and they're going to root themselves into your children or grandchildren, waiting for the opportune time to take a hold of them and give them the temptation to lead them into that. But everyone has a free will. When I decided, when I went back to the Lord and I started to pray for my husband who passed away again, and I started to ask for the Lord's forgiveness that same day, that's when the Lord revealed to me so easily and to this day, that's why you can't get overwhelmed about your family that doesn't serve the Lord. They're in God's hand. They're in God's hand. The Lord told me very clearly that I cannot help those who don't want my help.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
My husband's father did not want to help. He said he did, but didn't really. He only did it, went to church with me, oh, let me please her. They got to find God on their own. You can continue to pray for them. But if they're in that bondage, you have the legal right and the authority to pull them out of that bondage, but it is ultimately their choice. All of you who are here, I don't think you would just grab and force to the front. And if you were, there came a time in your own private time when you truly found the foundation of Jesus Christ in your heart. But seek that out. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Go anoint them at night. Pray for their room. Look for things and objects that are in your house.
Yeah.
Unclean things that are in your house. Pray for them. There's a story of this woman who, she lived in a home where she would walk up the stairs to go to their bedroom. And on the wall of the stairs, she had this large photo of Jesus Christ, you know, the paintings that we have. And every time she would walk up the stairs, she would look at it and look at it and admire and feel good. And one day as she's walking up the stairs, she heard the voice of the Lord tell her, if you keep looking at that picture, you're not going to recognize me when you see me. Because she focused so much on that, that to her, that's what Jesus is going to look like. And he told her, you keep looking at me in that picture, in that painting, you're not going to recognize me when you see me. Those are certain things that you need to take out of your home. There was a story of a couple who, they're in their 70s, had been married for over 45 years. And one day the woman was testifying, she said, they visited China, Japan, and you know, when you go to these places, you bring back, you know, you think you just go to the souvenir shop, oh, it's a cute little thing, you know, you go everywhere, it's probably made in the United States. But you pick it up and you bring it home. You don't know. A lot of these countries, you know, they don't like the United States.
Yes.
So when they
right.
send these things in, you bring these are cursed objects.
Yeah.
They're coming into your house. Right. They create demonic activity.
Right.
And that's why we are in constant spiritual warfare. And that's why you need to be athletically fit to always wrestle and have the knowledge that one day God is going to bring the revelation that there is unclean things in your home, unclean objects, cursed objects, that you need to cast them out. You need to take them and throw them out. And you know that all of a sudden, at the age of 70, she says, her and her husband, all of a sudden, they were getting love so short.
I'm just thinking about how the devil do it.
Yeah. But she knew about spiritual warfare. And she started to pray and say, Lord, what is going on between my husband and me? What? They found out that when they had gone to China, they had bought this table. And it's like a small end table. They put it in the living room. When they went, the Spirit took her to this table. When they looked at it, and she looked at it, on the table were the paintings of concubines in ivory. The Spirit told her, concubines were a form of the woman. Back and forth, women giving themselves out of wedlock. And she realized the spirit of lust had entered into her home through this cursed object. The Spirit of the Lord led them to pray over it, cleanse it, claim it back. By the blood of Jesus, some objects can be thrown out, burned, whatever. Some objects can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you can keep them.
Okay?
You need to have discernment. Discernment is very important. That's why dealing with spiritual activity, demonic activity, you cannot base yourself on just the emotionalism of it. You need to have the written knowledge. You need to have the written word. You need to have that guide, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
You can read. You see downstairs, there's an array of books on spiritual activity, demonic activity. Read them, but make sure that all of them are based on the Word of God. That there is Scripture. So that when the end time comes and you don't have the Word of God anymore, you're not going to remember what I and Frank Hammond may have said. You're not going to remember what Dr. Russell said. But you're going to remember the Word of God because it is written in your heart. That's what's going to give you the strength. That's what's going to prepare you athletically speaking so that you can continue this warfare. It's a warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. You don't see what you're fighting, but you know it's there.
Yeah.
There is unseen Satan is like an unseen God, the unseen God of this world. And he has his army. He has his soldiers that he assigns to you. And he assigns them by rank and order. He assigns them by your family tree, by your family heritage, by your forefathers, where you live at. If you live in a home and you bought a piece of property, pray over that land. Pray over your home. Surround your home. Cleanse it. Let the Lord reveal to you what is there. Don't go home now and start throwing every single object out. Ask for discernment. But do a spiritual cleansing in your home every couple of months. Spiritual cleansing of your home, of your clothes. Even when you go out shopping, pray for the clothes that you're going to put on your back. Pray for the car you're going to buy. Pray for your children, everything that they do to school. I go back to what Sister Carla said. Practice that everyday faith. And I add to it, because everyday faith has to do with you wrestling against the spirit of darkness and the unnatural activity that is going on right now as we're here. Like I said, remember that man in the synagogue? He had a demon in him.
Yeah.
Who's to say right now? Do you think right now that there's not one or two demons on here listening to everything we're saying?
Yeah.
Do you not think they are? Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
And I don't care, because we're here to tell them, you can sit there and listen, and yes, we're letting you know that we are preparing an army of women,
amen,
right here,
amen,
that is going to fight and battle.
Amen.
Take that to your boss and let him know.
Amen.
Take that to them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Because if there are two or three demons here, right around, God has all get ready, given, like the psalm says, he has given his angels
charge
to be here in our midst,
Lord,
and watch and look and see where those demons are going to attack her, and he's got your back.
Amen. That's it.
God has your back.
Lord.
Jesus has your back. The angels have your back. I love Mother Mildred here. 95 years old. Who's been having her back all these years?
Jesus.
Who's been having your back all these years? Jesus.
97.
All right, you got to give God praise for that. Jesus is back. We're hanging on the boxing glass. You know when the referee comes? Hey, what do you see? I don't know, but I see four of them. Sometimes we get that way. We're so beat up that we look and we see four demons instead of two. Okay? Many people say, oh, in my house, I see demons all the time. I see demons. Okay. It's good to see the demons. I guess. I don't know. I don't like to see them. I'd rather see the angel of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
I'd rather look and see an angel of the Lord than see a demon.
Yeah.
But if God gives me, I guess I would have to say the privilege, I don't know, or the anointing, or the reason to see one, then I want to be ready to tell them.
Oh, yes.
If you haven't seen one, it's because it's none of your business to see one. And maybe you're not ready to bind it and cast it out, because you may have fear. Okay? It's not an unnatural fear, but it's something that God knows. Because God knows. You got to be ready. How many of you have read that book, Rebecca Brown, Kids of Such a Catholic Faith?
Yeah,
I do.
I don't know if I want to be involved in what she was involved in. I'd rather fight it, you know, the invisible beings. Yes, I know you're there, but I don't want to see you. But you got to know they're there.
Yes.
If you don't believe that they're there, then you're not wrestling.
Mm.
You're not inside the ring.
Mm.
You're not being athletically prepared.
Mm.
You're living a fantasy gospel life.
Mm.
A lot of preachers are out there preaching
victory,
prosperity, and all that.
All right. Hello.
That victory and that prosperity is going to give you an emotional and encouragement blessing, but it's not going to prepare you for the world.
Right.
Because it says that we battle. We need to get, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Hello.
Okay? You need to know that the Spirit of God is a part of your life. And don't get so easily tied in by the speaking in tongues and all that. Leave all that to the Lord.
Thank you.
Don't get tied up, oh, I don't speak in tongues, God doesn't love me. Please, let God work in your life at His own pace.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal testimony on that. When I was maybe 2 years serving the Lord, we had a ladies' meeting. And we went to the home, and there was maybe seven of us ladies, and there was this one girl, Wanda, and all of a sudden, she was praying, she just fell on the floor, and she's wriggling, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm new, I'm like, I'm stepping back,
mm-hmm.
I don't know nothing about this,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I knew about demonic activity, and I knew to bind and to heal and all that, but you know, you're glad, I'm not letting him for that. And the other women are there, I figured, they're more experienced, they've been in the Lord, you know, 10, 12 years, they know, and they're praying over her, they're praying, and I could see the sweat on the perspiration, in the name of Jesus, and I'm just closing my eyes, and I'm closing my eyes, and the reason I'm closing my eyes, I'm going to tell you this now also before I forget. Wow, especially in the prayer meetings in the morning, many of you are there,
I usually sit in the corner. I stay in the corner and I pray. Because not everyone has to be involved in casting out demons.
Amen.
I sit in the corner, I pray, and you know what I'm praying for in that corner? I'm praying for all the people that are ministering on top of those demons, those bodies. And I'm praying for the entire camp. Because when those demons come out of that person, they are coming out and they are looking. They are looking. Where do I enter? I need a body. I need a body. When they come out of you, they have been left without oxygen. They need to breathe again. They need to enter a body. And I start praying, Lord, build a hedge of protection around everyone in this meeting this morning. Around those that are ministering, around those that are sitting. If there is anyone whose mind is not on you, Lord, put an armor above them. Lord, bless all the people that are there, innocent people that are in the trailers and the camp, everywhere, Lord. Bless the children, oh Lord Jesus. Keep them, protect them. So whenever these demons come out, they do not find any other body to enter into.
Amen.
All
right.
So it's important that you pray. Not everyone can be involved in warfare, and rather in casting out demons, but we're all involved in warfare. Not everyone can be laying hands on, but many of you need to be in one corner praying and looking and watching. And not all the time with your eyes closed, that's good, but sometimes it's good to keep them open. I used to be told when I first came to the Lord, you always pray with your eyes closed. And you know how we work hard to sit, to stand up with your eyes closed, and you hear all this going on, you're like just dying to open your eyes to see what's going on. And they say, close your eyes. I want to open them. I want to see what's going on.
Right.
But not so much out of curiosity, to be aware, to look, to be observant. The ever-loving eye of God that is looking.
Like Gideon's army.
Right. You know, so you need to look. If you don't want to look, then you close your eyes and you stay in meditation. But you can't open and pray. You can't open and pray. And as this girl is there wiggling and all this stuff is going on inside them, and they're praying, and I just have my eyes closed and have my eyes closed, and I'm praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind that demon out, watch over your words and all that. I just felt the Spirit of the Lord just moving. Lay hands on, I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Lay your hands on her and cast it out. And I was going, and I still do it. I'm still going for it. I look and I watch and I pray and I pray and I pray to make sure. Because I'm not infallible. None of us are. I don't want it to happen like what happened with remember, sometimes I don't know all my scriptures by heart. I can memorize all of them, but When the Bible was written, it didn't have chapters and scriptures, and it was just written as a book. So sometimes I just read it as a book. I forget where it's at, but I know it's there. And I know when the man cast out that demon, and they said, in the name of Jesus, and he said, Jesus, we know, or Paul, we know, who are you?
Who are you?
But I felt the Spirit to come go and lay hands. Simple. And I went and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out and set me free right now. He cast out in Jesus' name. Oh, listen, she just unclosed you. She just laid him. I got off and I said, because this does not come from us. We cannot take pride in it. The moment you start taking pride, that means you want to share God's glory.
Yeah.
I want to share it. And I'm not saying different to what Brother Clement said like that. The glory that he does it through you.
Yeah.
It's the power of him in you. Not your power.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that king that turned out so that I ended up on four. None of us want to be on four. God just put us up on 2 legs. When she got up, she went to the bathroom, and I was, you know, very quiet. It was her first experience for me. When I went to the bathroom, I said, Wanda, how are you? Are you okay? And she just looked at me, and she said, you know, as I was there, because sometimes, even though the demons are dead, they also maintain some capacity. That's why sometimes it's pure demonic activity, and sometimes it's the flesh mixed with demonic activity. Is that a discern between both? What's a demon, full demon possession, and what is demonic activity and obsession around that person mixed with the person's desire not to want to let it go? They want to remain that way. That's why it's good. Even when we're praying in these prayer meetings, Lord, give discernment to your workers. Give discernment so that they know, they can identify what demons to cast out, to bind the flesh, to cast out the demon, or to just tell that demon to shut up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's discernment. It won't happen every time. Whatever happened this morning may not happen again. But every prayer meeting is different because the Spirit of God has to work differently with everybody. Remember, I keep saying, God, we're like a chessboard. God just puts it in whatever place He wants to put us. And I don't care as long as it's Him putting us.
Amen.
Okay? And when I went to the bathroom, she told me, I just knew that it had to be you to lay hands on me.
Hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, well, I just say this real quick, you gotta be kidding, you know. I joked with her and all that, but it was the one time. That experience, however, it was an older woman there. Maybe in her 50s. This happened on a Friday. Sunday morning we go to church. There's a Sunday school going on. And one of the ladies that was at the meeting gets up and asks the Sunday school teacher, can a person who does not speak in tongues cast out a demon?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, is what I said. I was in the back.
Hello.
I did not speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been gifted with the speaking. I think I've spoken in tongues maybe not every day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't know why. I ask the Lord, yes, give it to me, the gift. Yeah, I wish I could speak in tongues every day, but I want to know what I'm saying, too.
Yeah. Hello. There you go.
So, yeah. I think that I got him.
Oh,
I mean, and I just sat in the back seat and I just wanted to cry. Oh, goodness, I prayed for that girl. And now she says that I didn't speak in tongues. She probably got demon possessed again. And all these things are going on. Because you knew and you know, your own fellow brothers and sisters can sometimes harm you.
Yeah.
But again, that's spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Nothing against that brother or sister. It's spiritual warfare. Satan will use anyone, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, yourself. You look in the mirror, I'm older, you'll use yourself.
Yeah.
Spiritual warfare. You're in it every single moment of the day. Every single moment you're in it. One day look in the mirror and see more gray hairs than yes, and you want to go get 2 bottles of dye. You guys, we're there. Spiritual warfare. But the Sunday school teacher was savvy enough and knowledgeable enough that said to him and said, wait a minute. He said, they did not speak in tongues in the Bible until the day of Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
And prior to that, they were casting out demons.
Yeah.
Oh, I stood in the back and said, oh, God, I got up again. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because I felt, oh, God, thank you. I felt I had done something wrong.
Yeah.
And when he gave that revelation of the word, I said, Lord, I thank you. If I never do that again, that's fine with me. But I thank you that I did not lay hands on someone, and I did not speak in tongues, and I don't know if this woman stole all the dark hands, but God was able to erase that out of my heart. And you know why? Because when we diligently seek God, where the enemy steps in to try and put a stumbling block before us, like he would have done at that moment, if that person had not answered right or answered differently, I could have left there and probably who knows what could have happened to me. But God knew, provided the right answer. God knows your heart. He knows what he's going to give you. And then you start learning what it says. Everything you hear, keep and retain. Spiritual things that apply to you, everything else closes to the time. Paul said it. I didn't. Paul said it. The scriptures are your guide. Watch the Bible that you read. Look at the Bible that you read. Make sure that they affirm the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is being rewritten every day and it's being changed.
Yeah.
I think I've seen one or two sisters that have a Bible. They look like they've had the Bible for years.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's good.
Yeah.
A lot of hidden Bibles are being rewritten. Reminds me of the joke of a monk. There was this new monk, he went into the monastery, and one of the first tasks was that they would rewrite, you know, they would write in the Bible, the manuscripts. So when he walked in, he sees that all the monks are copying the Bible, the manuscript, from a copy. So he says, well, everybody's copying it from a copy. He says, how do we know that someone didn't make a mistake from the original one? And the head monk stood there and gave him food for thought. He went downstairs, down the basement, pulled out the old manuscript, started reading it and reading it. Hours passed. They were scared. What happened? The wall goes down. They go downstairs. He's banging his head against the wall, banging his head against the wall. And they were like, what happened? I don't know if he said this. We left out the R. Celebrate. That's why you gotta be careful. The written word of God is good. But every day is being changed. It's being changed, and you got to know the Word of God. When you know that original manuscript, and you know, I know one of the best ones out there is the Authorized King's Version. Read everything else. The Amplified, they're great, the parallel, but always compare.
That's right.
You know the easiest way I compare it? Psalm 23. Psalm 23. They kind of more or less say the same thing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, and other scriptures like John 3:16 and many others, just compare and look. So that you don't get easily fooled. But if you have the true spirit of God, you won't be that easily fooled. Because we're seeking God. So God knows that those who seek Him will diligently find Him.
Yeah.
So as I end, in your quest for spiritual warfare that we are involved in, this is just one teaching out of many about generational curses. We've given, my husband and I have given seminars on this. We even put together a book that hopefully we will soon put into publish. It was Knowing and Breaking Generational Curses. And as we did these seminars, many times we prayed and things happened and revelation came, but the majority of the time is to give you the teaching of the Word, the knowledge that there is, so you can go home, think about it, go home with food for thought, so that to realize that you are, that we are in a involved in a spiritual realm. The enemy can try to fool us in many things. He will try to keep us in bondage. But my sister, realize that you are in a spiritual warfare. And the best part is that we have victory.
Mm-hmm.
We have the victory. The victory comes through the knowledge. Obtain knowledge of the Word. Listen to every teaching that you can, but guide, let the Holy Spirit of God guide you into those teachings. Don't be swayed by every manner of doctrine that is out there. Don't be swayed so easily. Don't apply everything you hear so easily. What I have said here today, go to the Spirit of the Lord and pray. Say, Lord, does this apply to me? I believe it really does. Because I've applied it to myself. I've applied it to my family. I've applied it to my daughter. We have, like I said, my husband and I, between both of us, we have 10 children. I'm the second matrimony. The only one I have is daughter for them. But as she reaches a certain age, one thing that the enemy is so successful at is inflicting upon your spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear can be very dominant in stopping you from engaging in spiritual warfare.
Sure.
It's a very dominant factor. And ever since I knew I was going to have a little girl, I had a fear. Because I knew what I went through as a little girl. And before I had a little girl, I would say, I never want to have a daughter. That's a curse.
Yeah.
The words of the mouth, we spoke about it. Words of our mouth can create a curse. You can curse your children by simply saying, dummy. And sometimes it's good. And I told my daughter that, so sometimes all you dumb children, stop calling me. Okay. That's what we teach our children. We teach them how to fight. If you want to leave this legacy, you got to learn how to fight this battle spiritually. You got to learn that you want your children and your grandchildren to know how to fight this battle. Because there comes a time, we don't know how long before Jesus comes to earth. We don't know when His second coming is coming. So I want to leave an inheritance, a legacy, that I taught my family spiritual warfare. My children, and my children's children, and the children to come after them. Because one of my generation, one of your generation, is going to be here during this great battle. Not all of us will be raptured, because God has some selected few that He needs to leave behind, not because they were wrong, but He knows what warring people He has that are going to help stay here to help those that
that never received him.
Yes.
God has a plan for us.
Yes, he has.
I was telling this the other day. It says if you are faithful in the small things, he will make you ruler over many things.
Yes.
Many people misquote that. Say, if you are faithful in small things, he will put you into many things. No, it says he will make you ruler over many things. Over many things.
Yes.
That means that if you are faithful here, you're going to be given the privilege to rule other things. I was telling my sister, okay, he might send me to rule Jupiter, Venus, I don't know. But he's going to make us a ruler because we have fought the good fight of faith. Teach this to your children. I don't know how much hope to just kind of bring it through to teach your children. But as I was saying with my daughter, I said, I never wanted to have a girl. And when I found out I was pregnant and I started teaching this, I started talking to the Lord. I find that curse that I pronounced over my daughter. I find it, and I cast it out, and I ask you to forgive me for having said that I never wanted to have a daughter for girls. Because I based it on my past, what I went through. And as I see her growing up, I look at me. I look at my mother. I look at my aunt. There's a spirit, a very high, abundant spirit of alcoholism that runs in my family. I had an uncle who died an alcoholic in a terrace with a rat biting at his toes. I had an aunt who died an alcoholic in a hospital all by herself alone. She did not want to be with anybody. I have an uncle now in Puerto Rico, an alcoholic who's in an asylum in Puerto Rico, alcoholism. Okay? I almost got involved in that alcoholism. Okay? When I was younger, almost at the age of 15, 16. Not by choice that I wanted to. I got involved with two girlfriends. That one of them liked that cheap 50 cent gypsy food. And in school she would buy it. And I had my other girlfriend with me. We didn't like it so much, but I got hooked into it because of the generational curse. I did not want to be a part of it. I didn't even like it. I would take a slug and I would throw up. But I kept taking the other one. I kept taking the other one until that little demon that was there was satisfied and kept making it better and tasting better. And before I knew it, I was caught up. It would stop and come, stop and come. When I started teaching this, I realized, oh my God, it was a generational demon.
Yeah.
And it's still in my family.
Yeah.
I didn't know it in time. It has almost taken my son. My son Jamel. To this day, I still do when I say, Jamel, that's an alcoholism spirit in my family. No, Ma. I pray. But it's weakening. It's weakening. Where he was drinking 3 or 4 days a week, now he's what I call a social alcoholic. Drinks with his days off. But it's weakening.
Yeah, it's weakening.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we keep weakening it. But that demon is prevalent in my family. So I need to bind it, and I have already, but I need to keep binding it in my daughter, in my son, and I need to bind them in the seed. Because my son will have children. My daughter will have children. That spirit has got to stop and go back to where it came from and no longer have dominion over my family line.
That's right.
So that's why it's important, and I have seen it happen. There was a young lady in my church, Sabira, she was an ex-Muslim, came to church. She had a daughter. Sabira was very, in her family, promiscuity was very prevalent. All the young girls, 13, 14 years old, were involved. When she had her daughter, she started seeing this, and she came to my husband and me said, I want to always be praying for Ayana, because I see it there. I have it, I know she's got it. She kept praying. And praying, we kept teaching and praying and binding and binding and binding and binding that. Ayana today is 16 years old, has graduated at 16 and is in first year college.
Right.
See what binding and knowing can do for your family? So she's still like boys? I hope so. But she has not been permissive because her mother has been ever faithfully watching and looking. Not because the spirit has revealed to her, but because she was made aware of those past generational demons that are there. That's why that's important. I could go on and on for this. It's getting warm in here. And I'm not just talking, the PMS and all that stuff. I'm talking about certain major things that happen, hospitalization, family problems, concerns, financial problems. You know, the month of, my husband said, used to say that the month of September, he always used to lose his job. They would promise him a promotion for the month of September, which happens to be his month of birth. By December, he'd end up losing his job. He started to bind it, and cast out that spirit that was like a family curse holding that. And when he began to bind that and cast it out and stop that demonic activity in that particular month, things started changing. So look for those things in your life. Look for those things. They're there and they're prevalent. This is knowledge. This is the Word of God making it real in your life, teaching you how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Teaching you how to wrestle, preparing those spiritual muscles, that spiritual mind, that lung, that mouth, your eyes, your feet, ready for that fight to keep fighting. You're wrestling, and wrestlers get tired, but you still wrestle. So my sisters, I say today, let us pray in the name of the Lord. So Lord, give us the knowledge to begin binding back to our fathers and our forefathers and our parents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-grandparents, Lord. Help us to go back to the family tree where you want us to go, Lord. Not where we want to go. Where you want us to go so that we can be set free from any generational curse that is in our families. From this moment on, Lord, we pass this on to our children, our children's children, our brothers, our sisters, our family, Lord. Those that are willing to listen, Lord, we know that you will set them free. Those who are not willing to listen, Lord, we ask for your mercy upon them. We ask for your mercy upon them, Lord. We ask for your mercy. But right now, today, oh Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you. And may we leave this moment here, Lord, with a new foundation of your word, with a new foundation and a new zeal and a new desire to continue this fight. And we bind and rebuke the spirit of fear, the spirit of stupor, Lord, and we go back to the mind of Christ. For you have given us the mind of Christ. And his mind was so strong that he was able, O Lord, to come against Satan himself. And this mind and this power you have given unto us in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.